I'm Aguirre with UT Austin, and I'd like to call to order the Gatton Technical Subcommittee meeting for March 19th, 2024. Time is 1:30 p.m. We'll start off with our agenda item number one, which is a roll call. Sarah, if you could please lead us.
Yes, I'm Sarah Eichelberger, and I'll call the roll. Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Chris Phillips, LCRA.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Justin Slocum, Austin ISD.
Present.
Harold Null, UT.
Present.
Paul Hodge, Austin ISD.
Present.
Mark Stavis, City of Austin.
Present.
Steve Pyle, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
And Gatton contractors we have joining us are Doug Wilson with JC Communications.
Present.
And Chris Gonzalez with BRICOM.
Present.
We've established a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Agenda item number two, is there any citizen communication?
Not this time.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Chris, nothing for you. Okay. Let's see it. Agenda item number three, let's take a few minutes to review and approve the minutes from the February 20th technical subcommittee meeting. Notes are on your screen or in the packet.
And I'm going to note, since the roll call, we've had Anthony Breckenridge with City of Austin and Gary Wiesman with Austin Community College join the meeting.
Welcome, guys. We're just reviewing minutes.
This is Dane. Motion to approve the minutes of February 20th, 2024, as presented.
Steve with the R, second.
All right. We have a motion by Dane and a second by Steve. Is there any further discussion? All right. Let's have a vote, please.
Paul Hodge.
Aye.
Mark Stavis.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Where did it go? Aye, if you can hear me.
I can hear you. Can hear you.
Okay.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
And Chris Phillips.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
All right, thank you. Agenda item number four, maintenance contractors report. Chris, what do you got for us today?
Okay, this is Chris Gonzalez. Since our last meeting, we've completed the inspections of B2 South and C1 N with 17 corrected deficiencies between the two rings. There's nothing out of the ordinary report. Please let me know if you have any questions.
What was the pole transfers looking like?
Looks like we had a total of six on this cycle. That's kind of the running norm right now this year. Last month we had a significant uptick, but I believe that was a bunch of poles along Woodward Street, I believe, from last month.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Any questions on the maintenance report? If not, we can take a look at inventory then.
Okay, moving on to the inventory. The only change we have is on March 2nd, we used 1,436 feet off rail R647 for the C1N emergency repair at 290 in Cameron. There were no other repairs reported or needed.
All I'm sure we'll talk about this more in the network incident report, but what was the cause of that one again?
Looks like rodent damage. Had been large rodent because they did go through the armor.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Any questions on the inventory report? All right, moving on to agenda item number 5, network manager's report. 5A is the project status report.
Okay, yeah, this is Frank, and I'll cover this report for Gatton Active Projects. The only updates I have for you is that Super Ring South upgrade project segments 4, 5, and 6 are now scheduled and underway. As you all know, the moratorium's over. So we've got those scheduled. We've got A1N upgrade segment 2 as well scheduled, and A2N splice case audit currently taking place and hopefully wrapping up soon. That's all we have for active projects. And then I'll get to the rest of the sheet here. I've just got one more item to report on. Where'd it go? Let's see here. Bear with me here. Scrolling slow today. Yeah, it's the C1N emergency repair. We've got this listed as a future project. We're trying to get that under the works for a repair to a gunshot that took place over off Breaker. And that's all that I have to report. Let me check, double check. Entity specific. No, I don't have anything to report in that area or future entity specific projects. So that will complete that. Are there any questions? All right. Hearing none, I'm going to speak to the Gatton network incident report. Get to it. Okay, so since the last meeting, we've had 2 instances it's taken place. As Chris spoke to, there's possible rodent damage on Super Ring North. We believe an animal caused this at a riser area, fiber going up a pole. And the repair has been taking place there for emergency repair. An underground reroute for this area was previously approved by the board in 2021. It's a fairly large project. It's going to be the permanent repair for this when it's all said and done. And then we have the one that I mentioned on the project status as far as East Breaker Lane. Similar area. We've had probably within 100 feet previously in the past. We had, I think it was last year, maybe year before last, a gunshot, same location that took place on C1N. And so we've got we had a patch on this line to after the moratorium. Now the moratoriums are with. We'll get this scheduled to get a permanent repair in place. Any questions?
All right, Frank, this is Jaime. For the rodent damage, was it on the riser pole itself? Or was it up high?
No, it was down low.
Okay. So did we have a U-guard there? Or
yeah, get one so, added? Chris, you want to speak to that? Because I know I spoke to Carlos about that, about a bell housing.
Correct. Sorry, Frank.
Okay.
Yes. So there was a U-guard on it, but typically we put 2-inch U-guards into 4-inch pipe. Looks like something might have crawled in between the U-guard and 4-inch pipe. So we're going to start installing what they, I can't remember the specific name they have.
Bell housing.
Yeah, it's a bell housing. It's kind of like a step. It'll cover the 4-inch pipes and step down to the 2-inch riser guard. So everything is covered 100%. So there's no gap between the conduit and the riser guard. Because it's hard to put 4-inch U-guards because it takes up so much real estate on the pole. And sometimes there's not enough real estate on the pole for a 4-inch U-guard. So we'll put a smaller U-guard on the pole, even though it's a 4-inch pipe. But yeah, moving forward, we're going to be start putting these boots on to prevent this from happening in the future.
Great. So does that mean for your future maintenance on the rings, you'll be including this as another item?
Correct. Any future you know, CIP projects and whatnot. It'll be part of, you know, any risers adding those additional boots. It's minimal. Those boots, right. I don't, you know.
But I mean, I guess as part of the maintenance report, would that be a new column?
No, it's not part of the ongoing maintenance unless GAT management would give us direction to do something along those lines. We can, but I haven't received any direction yet or had those discussions.
Yeah, I guess the question too, that's a good question, Jaime. And to your point, Chris, the technical subcommittee can just make a call on that and we'll go from what they say. But, you know, I would imagine, you know, two ways to go about ensuring these are in place, and that's to figure out the amount that we have in the field that need to be placed and have somebody go out and place them, or as you do inspections, as the inspector rides out the ring, have him place them, you know, and as needed. And if he does that from an inspection standpoint, then I think it would need to be added to the inspection spreadsheet until they're all completed. If it's approached from a work standpoint where everything's accounted for and somebody's just doing that and it's not part of the ring inspections, then that's another way to approach it, and it wouldn't require, you know, another row or column on the inspection report. So two ways to go about that, and we can talk about that further. We'll follow back up with the tech committee if that's okay, Jaime. And,
yeah.
The tech members. Sure. Let me get them to get some talk into that as far as routine maintenance, what that's covered underneath the RFP contract, and then circle back to you if there's any pricing involved.
Sounds good.
One more thing about that report. It looks like a couple of the two line items on top. One, the April 2nd date was, I think it was March 2nd.
Oh, let's see. Yeah.
Incident date March, yeah. Should have been March 2nd.
We're not there yet in April. Yeah. Good catch, Justin. Sorry, I didn't catch that when I reviewed the handouts Friday.
Well, that's okay. And then the second line, I wasn't aware that there was any patch made on the C1N segment, which was damaged. I think we just rolled the different fibers.
I'm sorry, Frank. Yeah, Justin, this is Carlos. No, we couldn't do the repair because of the moratorium. So we're scheduling right. We're working in scheduling right now.
Okay. It just says perform the patch. I guess that just means to protect the rest of the fiber.
That's right.
Okay, I got it.
All right. Good questions. Good points, Justin. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, Justin.
Any questions on the network incident report? If not, we can move over to the budget report. Let's do it.
This is Sarah. Management is tracking 51 jobs totaling $3.4 million. So far for FY24, 19 jobs have been completed, and we've been invoiced for $571,000. That leaves $2.86 million encumbered for the remaining 32 jobs. So far for FY24, we've been reimbursed $162,000 in damage claims and project reimbursements. And that leaves a fund balance bottom line of $703,000. And since the previous meeting, we've added the expenses that were approved for the NOC decommissioning on the four rings, those additional expenses that were approved back in March or February. Please let me know if you have any questions.
All right. Doesn't sound like we have any questions today. Thank you, Sarah, for the report. Agenda item 6A and 6B, we need to go to executive session to look at some infrastructure details. So let's start with 6C, backup NOC decommissioning.
Yeah, so this is Frank again. For this one, I just have a minor update to give you. Everything as far as the permanent engineering that's taking place is underway, as approved by Gatton to do so. And the only thing really to update you on for this one is I have been working with a associate project manager that is assigned to the decommissioning of the convention center. He reached out to me in regards to fiber in the area for Sioux deliverables that he's undertaken, and for survey work that's taken place. And that caught my attention when he reached out to me, and I've answered his questions, of course, but haven't shared anything with me as far as design's concerned. We're going through that whole process of confidentiality. But the thing about it is, I want to make sure that they were aware, because he's speaking on about a 6-block radius for this impact to the Austin Convention Center being demolished and a new one being built. So that struck my interest. So I wanted to make sure he was aware of the relocation that's been approved by Gatton, and the underground bore information in particular, that wouldn't be in future conflict, because it's of great interest to me and, of course, to Gatton, that we wouldn't want to have to redo that after we did it, because they find it in conflict later. So I'm sending him that information and working with him to verify or get confirmation from him that is not in conflict. I've sent him the general vicinity, and he's looking into it right now. His initial, when he first saw it on a phone call with him I had last week, his initial thought was, no, you're not in our area. You're going to be good to go, because we're not going to be in that street or impacting that street. So we should be good to go there. That's the only update I have for that one. And
Frank, I wonder if that contact would be somebody on the Convention Center project team to talk about reimbursement of make-ready costs.
So he's an engineer, our associate project manager. I notified him that I've been working closely, and that Gatton has been working closely, that in particular the Gatton chairs, with the city of Austin, in regards to negotiations of what's going to take place, and that we're pending another location for approval. I didn't speak to him in particular about any items that were brought from the meeting held with Mark, being the city of Austin representative, and you, Jaime, and Dane, in regards to what Gatton is interested in as far as in-kind contribution or reimbursement due to the breach of the contract. So I didn't speak to him about that, but that is going to become part of the conversation as we move forward. It's just not there yet. I want to try and get what I can out of him as far as what they're doing there, whether or not we're in conflict with what we're doing currently that we have approved, and then begin to address, get all that established, and then I think it would be wisest to then address it with the convention center. What I did ask him to do is as you may recall, Rolando with the convention center, I asked this gentleman to make sure he copied him on these discussions, because he's the person that we've been speaking with in regards to convention center. He's the one setting the deadlines for us. He's a deputy director over there who reports to the director that sent the memo in the first place. So that's where I'm at with it.
Okay. Thank you for that update, Frank. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Frank on the decommissioning side of this knock? All right. Hearing none, let's go to 6D, backup knock relocation and subcommittee update.
Yeah, so for this one, the update on it is that, and you may recall that I mentioned this previously, but the Landmark Commission will be reviewing the Gatton application request for the NOC to be built at Fire 4 during the April 3rd commission meeting. I'll update everybody as soon as I find out. I'll send out an email blast to everybody, let everyone know whether or not it was approved, because, from previous discussions we've had, from what I understand, is as soon as that's approved on April 3rd, the next step will be to have Sid pick up the phone or otherwise contact the city of Austin attorney to begin negotiations for an ILA to be in place for Fire Station 4. This is the last hurdle. From everybody I've talked to at the preservation office with the city of Austin, it looks like it's going to be good to go. I won't know for sure until the commission meeting takes place, and if they have any questions and it doesn't pass the first round, April 3rd, it could pass the next one, but I'm fingers crossed on the third. We've dotted every I and crossed every T and gone over and above what they request on an application from an application standpoint.
Frank, for that landmark commission meeting, do we know if our item is going to be on some sort of consent agenda, or are they going to discuss it where we might need some Gatton representative to attend to field any questions?
Yeah, so I've got that. I've got an inquiry into that, and I hope to find out by the end of this week. And I'll be reaching out to you and Dane, because if they allow for us to attend, or, you know, if it's best that we attend or whatever y'all deem necessary or to be best, then I'm all for it. So I've got that question out there and hope to hear back something soon.
Okay. Sounds good. Yep. Please let me and Dane know if it requires a participation by Gatton.
Certainly will.
All right. I think that's it for open session. So the time is 1:51 p.m., and I'd like to adjourn to executive session to discuss agenda items 6A and 6B under Texas Government Code 551.089 and 418.181. So you, okay, it is 2:43 p.m., and we are back in open session.
This is Sarah Eichelberger, and I'll do an updated roll call. Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge. Chris Phillips.
Present.
Dane Herbat.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos.
Present.
Gary Wiesman.
Present.
Jaime Guerra.
Present.
Justin Slocum.
Present.
Harold Nall.
Present.
Paul Hodge.
Present.
Mark Stavis.
Present.
And Steve Pyle.
Present.
Everybody's accounted for.
All right, thank you. Going back to agenda item 6A, I'd like to motion a recommendation for board approval, developer-funded project, A1 North Union at 24th Street relocation at no cost to Gatton.
This is Gary, second.
All right, we have a motion by me, Jaime, and a second by Gary. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's have a vote, please.
Paul Hodge.
Aye.
Mark Stavis.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
And Chris Phillips.
Aye.
The motion passes.
All right, thank you. Our last agenda item today is agenda item number 9. We're going to confirm the date, time, and location for the next technical subcommittee meeting is April 16, 2024 at 1:30 p.m. here at the City of Austin Permitting and Developing Center or via Microsoft Teams video conference. The time is 2:45 p.m. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your time and participation.
Thank you, Ami. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Ami. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.